The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Maya Dunphy is with us, and Maya Dunphy is deeply disappointed because before the break we were talking DIY and she didn't get the opportunity to get involved. You are quite the DIY practitioner.
I am. I was talking to Martin outside, first time I've met him, and my eyes lit up when I saw him. I love a bit of DIY. It mainly came from being stubborn independent. And I remember when I bought my apartment 20 years ago, I was waiting for the lads in work to come and help me put up curtain rails. And I didn't drive at the time. I was completely useless. I mean, it was all the bad boxes ticked for being a woman. But I can now drive. I have a really good drill. I have all of the toolkit. Actually, I changed my neighbour's ball cock only last week.
Did you?
I did. My elderly neighbour.
And were they appropriately grateful?
Yes, he was.
Good. I'm delighted.
He still winks when he sees me. He's 76. Please stop.
But still sprightly, evidently. Now, sorry to bring up a difficult subject, but I have to ask you about this because I saw an interaction between you and an individual. Well, it wasn't so much an interaction. You quoted them. But this was a person who decided, as they do on social media, that they were going to get past remarkable about somebody's appearance. And what they said to you was, they said to you, "You're a tremendously good looking woman, but I think you could do with tooth improvement," which is one of those. What possessed you to say this to someone?
I know, I don't want to smile because you've got the most flawless gnashers.
Thanks very much. I bought them recently.
I get a fair amount of flack on social media. I mean, Twitter is awful, but on Instagram, there's a few who slip into your DMs as they say to pass remarks, but usually they're unpleasant. I just delete and block and move on. But every now and again, one stops you in your tracks. And this wasn't an anonymous account. And he'd seen me on Ireland AM talking about something very important. And he said, basically, that I could look like Jennifer Connelly if I got my teeth fixed. And it's quite easy to do nowadays. And maybe I don't care, which is cool. And because I have, when people ask me, you know, what I like about myself, I have a lot of hang-ups. I'm getting better as I get older, but my teeth are my biggest one. So it was like, oh, ouch. Anyway, I broke my jaw really badly when I was a child.
Well, this is the thing, because your response, I was looking going,
and I shouldn't have, I didn't
what did you do
owe
to
him that much in explanation, but I had, and I was the most risk-averse child. I'm a risk-averse adult too. Fell off an 80s bike and got my arms caught in the sticky-up brake wires. So went over the handlebars, hit the curb.
You went over the handlebars with nothing to break your fall other than your face?
And hit the curb. So I broke my nose, my jaw, dislocated my palate and fractured my lower jaw. Which is why I have a mouth like a bag of broken Scrabble tiles. So I can't, so my jaw was wired back up, but I had braces on for a while and they said, "We can't move your teeth or they'll fall out of your head." So anyway, look, quirky teeth are back, aren't they?
I'm more fascinated by, until this point in my life, I didn't realise that a palate was something that one could dislocate.
Yeah, there's a medical term for it, which I only heard recently because I have sinus issues now. When I went to have scans, she said, did you have a broken nose that was never repaired? And I said, probably. And I told her, and she said, it's called it's not called a prolapsed mandible, but it's something like that. There's some medical term for it. And it's pretty nasty. Yeah, you could.
Did you remain conscious through this?
I just looked like a bag of. My mum said, "I wish they'd taken a picture." I said, "The last thing we were going to do is take a photo of you." No, I was in hospital for about a week. It was not. Yeah, it wasn't pleasant. And I wouldn't mind. Between me and my siblings, I was the most cautious. Anyway, so Mr. Bitcoin 4897,
back in your box.
I know.
On the topic of your mum, you talk very fondly about your mum, and you also talk very touchingly about the loss of your mum, and you mention her often. Is it getting any easier to deal with?
Do you know what? It just changes. And that's actually what I'm in here to chat about, because I'm doing the Boots Night Walk in aid of the Irish Cancer Society's Night Nurse Services next Tuesday, September 9th in Dublin's Phoenix Park. And I think I always did a lot of work with cancer charities before it affected my family in the way that it did. And I think, I'm sure I speak for you as well, I don't know a single person who has not been affected by cancer in some way, either a friend or a family member, a neighbour, a colleague or themselves. But when you lose someone to cancer, it does land a little differently and it feels more bittersweet. But I feel like it's a very important thing to do. And I also realised in the first year, it was so very raw and I was quite numb. And now that it's now 3.5 years, there's a new kind of normal. But I've realised the importance of solidarity and support. And that's why events like this night walk, obviously the primary objective is to raise money for the Night Nurse Services. But there's such a lovely solidarity in being around people who genuinely understand how you feel. And I remember the year my mum died, 2022, that November, Now, we wouldn't be great mass goers, but my mum rarely set foot in a church. My dad said to me, I'd like to go to the Memorial Mass this year. You know, November, the All Souls Day Mass. So anyone who's lost someone in the last 12 months traditionally goes to a Mass on that day. Now, it was a cold, wet Tuesday night in November, and he went to the church and it was packed. You know, as if it was a wedding or a funeral, it was that busy. And there was such a feeling of solidarity and support of people that I didn't know, because everyone in that church had lost somebody. And then my son, I was just 7 at the time, and during a moment of reflection when it was completely silent, he let out this big fart. And I can tell you, Anton, the acoustics in a 19th century church lend a resonance to a child's fart like nothing else. And everyone's shoulders started to go as they laughed. And he turned around and said, excuse me, and I'm sorry for all of your losses, and then turned back around. And it was a lovely moment. And afterwards, everybody was giggling, saying, oh, God, your little boy's gas. And we, no pun intended. And then we all chatted a little bit. And there was, anyway, the point is the solidarity was lovely. And I feel like I was asked to do this walk a couple of years ago and I wasn't able to do it. And this year I thought, no, this is the year I'm going to go. And it's not, you know,
weren't
also,
able to do it emotionally, weren't able to do it time-wise.
No, logistically, right. I wasn't actually around. But this year, there's a few of us going. And there are, it's also really important to say that this is not all bittersweet or sadness. There are lots of people going who have come through cancer, who are going through cancer treatment and will come out the other side. Survival rates are improving all the time. It's really important to say there's so much hope and so much positivity around the cancer discussion. But this walk, I think, is going to be fun. Dublin Gospel Choir are going to be there. You can bring your kids, bring your dogs, bring your friends.
Now, night walk means what? All night? What
no,
time?
Night walk means, like, have you met me? I don't. It's like someone said, is it a run? No, it's not. Of course, runners will come and they'll probably run it because they can't help themselves. It's 7 p.m. It'll hopefully be a lovely balmy September evening. It's only just over 3 kilometres around the Phoenix Park. You walk at your own pace.
That's very reasonable.
It's going to be lovely. And there's still time to register. You have to register at bootsnightwalk.com. And come and join us. And again, the point is to raise money for the Irish Cancer Society's Night Nurse Services, who do incredible work.
The other thing we have to discuss is I saw video footage recently of you flambeing.
Oh!
Have you got an extractor fan?
If you actually did watch that video, I was showing my son how to flambe and I said, it's really important to turn the extractor fan off.
I watched you on silent. I didn't know there was a narration. Why is it so important
you sit
to turn
home
your
watching
extractor fan
me on silent?
Pretty
dude.
Much, yeah. It's a lonely life, but somebody has to do it.
Just don't look at the teeth.
Why do you have to turn off your extractor fan?
Well, have a think. Extractor fan, it obviously sucks things upwards. You could probably set fire to your entire kitchen. And also in the extractor fan, there's usually, especially in the older ones, there's a layer of insulation and that will go up like tinder. So
now,
don't do
on
that,
this,
no.
You happen to be preaching to the choir.
Oh, no.
I learned this the hard way.
You did not.
I did. I decided I am going, I think it was pork maybe, and I decided I will flambe these in brandy with the extractor running full bore, hit the thing with the match. The flames get sucked up and all of the grease immediately goes up. And what's amazing is because the flames increase the throughput like a chimney,
yeah.
The extractor fan accelerates like a jet engine. So you end up with this howling extractor fan and trying to rip it off the wall and fling it out the back door without ruining the part. It's quite challenging.
Of course. Yeah, I didn't mention the grease.
Oh, it's problematic.
It's an accelerator.
And the pork chops never recover because all the plastic drops into them. You can't pick it off. You can't say to somebody,
you are, yeah, you're effectively creating a jet engine. Don't do that.
Oh, hang on. This sounds like a Laforte fracture ranging from grade 1 to grade 4, which are the absolute nightmare for medical students with their reading about them. Grade 4 is where you can... I won't explain what a grade 4 is and I may need to lie down having just read it myself, but it's a very bad thing. So you might have had a Laforte fracture.
I might have had it. Do you know, I was very lucky because I was a very small child and there was a lot of blood and obviously facial injuries always... Well, it was bad, but they also look worse than they are because everything kind of swells up quickly. But I was brought into A&E and the doctor in A&E said he was training as a plastic surgeon, but he was working in A&E as a regular A&E doctor. And he said, no, we have to stop. We have to start fixing this from the inside out because they tried to kind of stitch up my mouth first. And then he said, I remember after the mum said he would have been far more scarred. So you had to pin everything. He knew what he was doing anyway.
On the subject of you being a small child, because you are a relatively diminutive adult.
You didn't get much bigger, right?
Exactly, indeed. I know that you have mentioned before your son's interest in aviation. Did you know you have the perfect build to be a fighter pilot?
I think my lower half is too big. I have a substantial bottom. You get into those Formula One cars, it's like, oh God, I feel a little chunky in this.
Really? Apparently it's better to be small, to be a fighter pilot, because you keep the blood out of your feet.
The only thing is, I don't have great upper body strength.
I'm sure they power the controls. Do you know what I mean? You're not flying Spitfires. Look, I mean, I'm not suggesting it as a career, but it's still worth consideration.
A little rush of excitement there, Anton.
Speaking of career, what are you up to this weather?
I don't know. The same as everybody else, bemoaning the early arrival of Christmas goods in stores and emailing County Council looking for a nomination for the presidency. Isn't that what everyone's doing?
Are you going to run?
Oh, aren't you? Everybody is now.
That is good news. Are you going to go the council route, are you?
Of course I am. All the Brian Emily. I don't know what's happening on that front. I am doing some development work in the UK, with writing, which is great. I've got a couple of small little things happening with RTE. So lots of little things, yeah.
Bemoaning the arrival of what?
Christmas goods in stores too quickly.
Are they
that
in already?
That was just a way of building up to the presidential candidate thing.
No, I'm setting that aside. They're not in already, are they?
They are. The stacks of Christmas tins of sweets, and I find it very depressing. I have to say, I'm somebody who always, I fought against the idea of routine. And now that I'm getting older and have a 10-year-old, I realise that routine is quite good for human beings. And getting back to school has been very good for me and my son. We had a very busy summer. We were away a lot and doing lots of fun things. I took him to every single job with me, the poor child. But I love autumn. I want a little bit of autumn. And I don't want to see Christmas things in store until the first week in November at the earliest.
Isn't there some rule that you don't do it until post-Halloween? Wasn't that always the thing?
Well, it was the understanding, the unwritten understanding. But Halloween's great for me with these teeth. Bit of makeup, America.
Whatever they did back then, they did a magnificent job. And whoever that guy is should be ashamed of himself. Remind us, the night walk is on
Tuesday, September 9th, next Tuesday in Dublin's Phoenix Park. Bootsnightwalk.com. If you can't come and join us in Dublin, you can register to walk an area of your choice, or you can go into your local Boots and buy an honour tag for just €3 to remember somebody special.
Maya, a pleasure as always. It has been worth the price of admission alone just for the line, excuse me, and sorry for all your losses.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.